Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Excuse me. We're talking about what it takes to be part of a marching band to begin the show. And I have a couple of guests for you today. One of them is Maggie Ferrando. She is the drum major for UW La Crosse's marching band, the Screaming Eagles marching band. And Maggie's studying music education, one semester away from student teaching. Maggie, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much, Larry. I'm excited to be here.
Erin Clark is our other guest. She is the Assistant Director of Athletic Training for UW-Madison's University Recreation and Well-Being Center. And Erin supports the UW Marching Band as well. And Erin, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Larry. Good morning.
So as we talk with these two experts, I hope you'll join in. Let us know what you like about watching marching bands perform. Have you had experiences maybe as part of a marching band? Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234. Or you could send an email to ideas@wpr.org. ideas@wpr.org. Maggie, you're a drum major, and I think to begin with, tell us what that means for those who aren't familiar with a marching band.
Yeah, so my responsibilities as a drum major are to conduct the band during any pregame or halftime shows. I'm one of three drum majors, so we all collectively work together to do these things. We also run rehearsals. We help teach fundamentals of marching. Basically, we're just a little bit of everything to help make the band the best they can be.
I always thought it was a weird title because you don't play a drum. Or maybe you can play one, but you don't play one in the band.
Yeah.
So how big is the UW La Crosse marching band?
We're right around 140 people this year.
And you have a color guard?
Yes, we do.
Let me turn to Erin for a minute. How long has, here you are, kind of an athletic trainer. How long has the UW Marching Band had an athletic trainer helping them out?
Sure, yeah. So athletic training has been a part of the UW Marching Band in some capacity since 2013. Myself and Recwell Athletic Training has taken over the management of that service starting in 2021. So we've been with them for now three seasons, or in our third season. And with athletic training, we're focusing really on the injury prevention, injury care, injury management because of the physical demands that the students put their bodies through.
Yeah, it's a lot. How many students are in the UW Marching Band?
Oh man, you're giving me a question here. A lot, we can say a lot. I believe it's well over 200 by the time it's all said and done. They start with rehearsals and preseason training. That number is much larger than that. And then when they go through their rehearsals at the very beginning of the season and they determine their final band count, it's over 200, so.
I know that in the past, all anyone from Wisconsin who played, you know, graduating from high school would be eligible to try out for the UW Marching Band. I think that's still true.
I believe anybody can try out for the marching band. Yes, for sure.
So. Okay. Well, let's talk a little about what's going on with UW La Crosse this year. How do you select tunes and which tunes do you, I mean, there are some that you always have, I expect, and so forth. And what are you playing this year?
Yeah, we have a really fun halftime show this year. Our pregame's pretty set in stone. We always play the same thing. It's kind of like a tradition of ours to play through what we play through. But for halftime, each of the drum majors kind of designs like a layout of what they'd want a show to be, and collectively as a band, we vote on which show we'd like to do. So this year we have a record rewind show, and we kind of are just playing different hits from the different decades. So we're playing some Demi Lovato songs, Taylor Swift, we have AC/DC, James Brown. It's just kind of like a little mix of everything, give the listener a variety.
Oh, well, it sounds fun to me. And what about formations? You have special formations?
Yes, we do. We hire a drill writer to write out drill for our show, and during our band camp week, we learn like our different drill movements. So everyone has a responsibility of knowing where they need to go throughout our different shows.
Well, my daughter Emily played the snare drum for the Lakeside Lutheran High School for 4 years, their marching band. So I had a lot of experience watching them because they would also go around not only athletic events, but they do local and statewide fairs or whatever where there'd be marching. And then they'd take a couple of weeks and go across the country and into Canada to perform as well. So they are a very good team, and there's a lot of work associated with it, I know. And of course, at the college level, it's even more. Aaron, what are some of the physical demands of marching band?
Sure, yeah. So the preseason camp that they run prior to even getting out on the field for that first time is probably the most physically demanding requirement as a part of marching band. And so our students here at the UW will host essentially three practices a day, multiple hours for the first 2.5 weeks before they even step foot onto Camp Randall Stadium. So very physically demanding. They're also at the same time starting to be carrying their instruments, depending on what the instrument may be. They're also working on a new, style of step, depending on what, the marching band has a very unique style of marching here at UW-Madison. And so that style has its own risk of injury, a lot of chronic overuse, getting kind of into the swing of things. If anybody has ever done any sort of a workout program, it's really that to the fullest, to the max, because you're going from a summer routine into just, okay, now we're gonna do 3 days for the next 2.5 weeks, and we'll see how we feel to perform when we get done with it all. So, and then that just continues, right, through the season. Then you're performing most weekends. As Maggie, I'm sure, knows, you're having those long days where even though the football game is only 2.5, 3 hours, the marching band is performing well before that. Well, after that, it is a very, very long, grueling season.
Yeah, and Maggie, I'm similar kind of situation for you.
Yeah, we don't do the high-stepping march that the Madison band is known for. We are more of a roll step, so it's a little bit easier on the body, but we do like send out emails and remind students that are coming in and joining the band to like up their activity level before they get to campus, like run a mile a day if you can, do anything to get active and get your body prepared.
Well, so let's talk a bit more about the behind the scenes work to get a band performance ready. Now, admittedly, my experience watching is from the Lakeside Lutheran High School. And I don't know how much difference it would be, but could you both talk about that a little bit more? It sounds, Aaron, in your case, like the beginning of that couple of weeks is, and my faculty office is over on the west side of campus. So I've been entertained every late summer by the band, and I was always wondering, oh my gosh, they're out there again?
Yeah, so my office is also on the west side of campus, and I love hearing the marching band in preseason for sure. It's a sign that semester is about to start, and it's a lot of excitement coming forward there. But in regards to preparation, we spend a lot of time educating, and we really try to educate the students on what can you do coming into the preseason reg week to prepare yourself so that you can hopefully reduce that risk of injury, and then you can perform the best that you need, the best that they can give their directors. And so one of those things is obviously preparing for the physical demands. So like Maggie said, working in some cardio as we're moving through the summer, continuing with some strength training, a lot of hip mobility for that high step is encouraged. some different types of exercises that they can do for their lower extremity to hopefully prevent some of those chronic overuse things that we typically see. But then away from that physical part of side of things, they're practicing in mid-August and they're practicing in midday and mid-August. And so having those conversations about proper nutrition, proper hydration, proper sleep, working on a acclimatization program. We hear it a lot with football that, you know, it's really important to acclimatize your body in the heat of summer. And so really encouraging that same type of practice with the marching band who is out on those same turf fields working in that heat and making sure that they're staying safe.
Yeah. Maggie, similarly, I imagine.
Yes. Yes, definitely. Our big thing is hydrate, like consistently make sure you're hydrating. It's so warm and middle to end of August, especially on the turf fields, like Aaron said. So just making sure that you're taking care of yourself and like making sure that everyone knows their limits and they're like, make like prioritizing their own care while they're learning drill and music.
And is there much of a difference between, okay, my daughter played the snare drum. So you've got a, it's probably easier to play than the bass drum, for example, and march with a bass drum. Or I've had friends playing the tuba and carrying a tuba. But I would think that, you know, depending on the instrument you've got, there might be different kinds of things to worry about or think about, Aaron.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. There is going to be some impact based on the weight of the instrument, the positioning you're carrying that instrument in, that will definitely relate to the types of stress that the body is feeling. If you're carrying a tuba, it's much different than carrying a smaller instrument, and that impact to not only, you know, obviously your lower extremity and the impact of their foot on the ground is higher, a higher weight and carrying that load, but also, you know, what is that doing to their back? What is that doing to their shoulders? Similarly with, you know, the percussion group, the percussionists are having that quick repetitive movement with their arms, with their hands, with their wrists. Yeah. And so they're feeling something within, you know, different than somebody who's carrying a different type of an instrument.
Yeah. We have, by the way, you can join in. The number's 800-642-1234, email to ideas@wpr.org. And let's take a call. Dale in Dubuque, Iowa, we'll go to you. Hi, Dale.
Hello. Hi, Larry. It's very nice to listen to the show today. And the reason I'm calling is perhaps I can give you a little comparison. I was a marching band member for Iowa State University in Ames back in 1970, 70 and 71, 72. And many of the hours of practice that the members there are stating are very similar. We would have an early before season practice routine that started in the day, two practices during the day, and then an evening practice. And that would go for 2 weeks and so on. And of course, it was very hot. And in those days, the dorm rooms had no air conditioning. So we would just die coming off the field and going back to a 90-degree dorm room and expect to get rested. The other thing about our experiences, we were high steppers. We only had men on our band. We had one girl who was a baton twirler. Yeah, but the rest of us, all men, so... I don't know if that made it better.
A lot different from today. You know, Dale, thank you so much for calling. That's the male-female ratio is much better. Any ideas, you guys, is that half and half, or what do you think? Maggie.
I would say, yeah, we're probably about half and half. We have a pretty diverse group.
Yeah, Aaron, same with, I'm pretty
very
sure.
Very similar.
Yeah,
very similar.
Very, very similar. So, and that's only back in the 70s that Dale was, and they had an all, was all male. Thanks, Dale, for calling. Appreciate it. Phil in Mount Horeb has a question for you. Phil, hi.
Hi. I suffered tinnitus immediately after I was in a group hunting with a you know, big game hunting rifle, and they're very loud, very sharp sound. I'm thinking, wow, what's the decibel level in a band when you're standing side by side with tubas and trumpets and snare drums? It must be very loud. Is there any damage to the hearing possibility?
Oh, that's a good question, Phil. And Aaron, you're kind of nodding. Let me go to you.
Sure. Yeah. So actually, there is quite a bit of research that's being done within, in what hearing issues people, not only in just a marching band, but in music majors in general, and students that are in a tight vicinity of a room and having that constant noise. As for a decibel level, I don't know the exact decibel level, but it seems quite loud. Thankfully, with the marching band, you know, they are outdoors, so it is a little bit more dispersed. We have a little less of that loud noise in a room bouncing off walls. And so that's definitely helpful, but there definitely is a concern there. And there is research being done actively on how that affects students.
Thanks very much for that question, Phil. Our guest today, Aaron Clark, Assistant Director of Athletic Training for UW-Madison's University Recreation and Wellbeing Center. She helps support the UW Marching Band, and Maggie Ferrando is a drum major for UW Lacrosse's marching band, the Screaming Eagles Marching Band. Great to have both of them with us. Join in with your own questions. The number to call is 800-642-1234. Email to ideas@wpr.org. Clara Neipert's our producer today. Trina LaSusa, our engineer. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network. Great to have you along today as we take a look at the demands of marching bands with our two guests, Aaron Clark from the UW-Madison. She helps support the UW Marching Band, and Maggie Ferrando, drum major at UW Lacrosse's Marching Band. Great to have both of them with us. Beth in Lacrosse emailed, she'd love to know more about resources and examples of schools, public or private, that have allowed PE credit for marching band students in high school. You may or may not be aware of that, but you might be aware of any kind of credit situation regarding college. But one of you want to, Maggie, do you want to start?
Yeah, I can. I know that for high school, depending on the district and depending on where in the United States you are, if you're a competition style marching band, sometimes they do like a PE credit for that. At UWL, at least, we currently do not. This is more of like just a fun group to join, but we have been working to try to get it to cover one of the general like elective credits that the college students have to take.
Yeah. Aaron, are you familiar with any of it?
I know that UW-Madison marching band students do receive credit, which is in part why we advocated to support these students who are trying to do an academic program. And so they do receive academic credit.
Mark in Madison, we'll go to you. Hi, Mark.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Yeah, well, I did 4 years in the UW-Madison marching band under the great Mike Electrone. And 1974 was my first year, the first year that there were women in the band. There were two. And so I kind of stumbled into that. I showed up. I didn't know that there was that tradition of maleness. And so it's grown since then. And I will say that I was a three-season athlete in high school, but I've never been in better shape than when I was playing in the marching band. Somebody said it's like running a mile. Well, try running a mile breathing through a straw. And so there is a definite aerobic quality to marching band, and trying to make a steady, consistent, nice sounding tone while your heart is trying to jump out of your chest is quite the feat.
Mark, thank you so much for calling. Comment on that, Aaron?
He is exactly right. It is a very highly aerobic activity for sure. I've worked with a lot of different traditional sport athletes, and this is one of the more demanding sports I've ever worked with. One of the more demanding activities I've ever worked with.
So. Yeah. Same with you, Maggie.
Yes, definitely the same.
Okay. Well, let's go to Ellen, who's in California, calling from there. Hi, Ellen.
Hi there. Good morning. I'm just thrilled with this show because I'm thinking back to 1964 when I was part of the band at Wauwatosa East High School, and we were representing Wisconsin at the World's Fair in New York. I played clarinet in the concert band, but for that particular moment, I was part of the color guard at the World's Fair, marching down the avenues of the Avenue of the Americas, carrying the American flag with my band behind me. And honestly, it was just the most spectacular experience I can never forget. And then the flag got snagged in a tree as I marched by. And I was yanking at it feverishly because the band was catching up behind me, but managed to unsnag it and carried on. But wow, what an experience. And I'm still in touch with many of my former bandmates.
Ellen, that's a wonderful story. And the bands, I imagine both of the bands, I know the UW band gets out and performs at events, at least some of the band members, and the whole band doesn't go often, but I can remember watching at the at a Rose Bowl, watching the UW, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, our marching band performs, they're performing, I believe it's Lambeau Field next Sunday. They'll be doing a performance there. But hearing about them at the bowl games is just such an exciting time, it seems like. And I think this most recent caller really hit the nail on the head where the marching band has such, they build such a community amongst themselves, and it just creates such this lifetime like just friendship, and the people that come back for the alumni concert. It's so fun to see and have that carried out from years and years and years.
And there's been more than one marriage as a result of serving, I bet, in both lacrosse band and the UW band. I know the UW for sure.
I don't have that stat. But I'm sure you're right.
Oh man, yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm right as well. But the band, Ellen's comment from California about marching at the World's Fair is probably one of those experiences that, well, obviously something she hasn't never will forget for sure. And we will, Ellen. Thank you again. We'll move on and. Michael emailed us. We have quite a few emails. The director of the UW Marching Band also put in long hours outdoors. Yet they seem to be some of the lowest paid faculty at the UW Madison. For example, the assistant director is paid about $60,000 annually, in contrast to the new football coach, you get $47 million. He wishes the athletic department could do more for the band and its facility. I don't know what you've got to say to that, Erin.
That is a very complex question, I feel like, because this is an academic program on our campus. And I am not a part of athletics. We are recreation and well-being, supporting the marching band because they are students on campus, and we support all students on campus. I completely agree that some of their practice fields could be redone, but there are a lot of things on campus that could be done to help different student groups. And I think seeing some of that support would be great. It's just a matter of where does that support come from? Where is that most appropriate?
I think there's a misconception sometimes, at least at UW-Madison or among fans of the UW-Madison, that the band is part of the football program or part of the athletics. And that, as you're indicating here, is not the case.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maggie, a comment from you on that?
I'll just say I can't think of a single music educator that went into the job for the money. It's all about the passion for music and meeting new people.
Oh, man. Vernon O'Clair called Couldn't Stay With Us. Oh, he's talking about it's important to find out if you have flat feet before you march.
That is so true. That is a very true statement. We do talk a lot about footwear and proper footwear and previous injuries and things that we can do to prevent that. And one of those things is good supportive footwear. So,
great comment. Thanks for that, Vern and Eau Claire. So let's talk about the style of marching. And I know that in the past, there have been some comments on, for example, the UW with its stepping style. Is that where the injuries come from? Aaron, I'll ask you about that. And we'll have sort of a different question for Maggie on that, but.
So injuries come from multiple places, as you can imagine, but the style of stepping is definitely a contributing factor. The style of stepping for the UW marching band with the hip hike and then the pointed toe can produce both hip pain. It can produce Achilles issues. We see a lot of knee pain. Those are the types of things that we see at the beginning of the season. But as they continue to progress through that preseason, those preseason weeks, the constant repetitive pounding on the ground, which you're going to see in different styles of marching, but with that high stepping, it is a little bit more impactful to the point where then we're worried more about things like stress fractures or the common names shin splints, those types of chronic pain issues.
Yeah. Maggie, for you, your band has a different style, but certainly it's plenty of opportunities there for injury there.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We do roll stepping, so it looks more like a glide when we're marching. So we don't have to, like, lift our knees up or come down quite as hard. But we do focus a lot on, like, making sure that your core is engaged, that you have proper posture. And that can put strain on the body, definitely.
So is that something, let me put it this way. How do you, as a leader, prevent injuries in your bandmates?
Just making sure that everyone's aware of, like, the basic foundations of having good marching really helps, like, eliminate any issues. We train all of our student leaders in proper marching techniques so that they can pass that on to their different section members. And just making sure that they're advocating for themselves. If something's hurting them, make sure to let someone know so then we can address that.
And Aaron?
Yeah, we echo that. We definitely work with the section leaders and making sure that they are advocating for their sections and what their sections are feeling and different individuals and what they're feeling. Really education is what it comes down to, and making sure that they're taking care of these injuries and these painful instances before it gets to the point where they struggle actually walking or marching or anything like that.
Edie emailed us, his daughter was in the University of Minnesota marching band for 4 years, and she had custom-made earplugs for hearing protection. His understanding was that all the band members were given the opportunity and encouraged to get a pair provided at no cost.
I'm not sure what our band does for that, quite frankly. I know that we've had conversations around the noise, and I know the music department does a good job in educating around that, but I am not sure what specifically with your...
Yeah, Maggie?
The UWL band does provide everyone with a pair of earplugs, especially to use during, like, our indoor rehearsals. Outside, it's not as bad, but, like, our drum line always has ear protection on.
It's really interesting to think about. I'm thinking back to Emily's experiences as my daughter's experiences in high school and the wonderful experiences she's had. From your perspectives, what have been some of the kind of most fulfilling things about your jobs? Aaron?
I just love giving our students an opportunity to be seen by healthcare and not just kind of brushed aside or had them have to figure it out for themselves. So we really try to be a bridge between the student and campus health and supporting them where they're at, because that's what students deserve and that's how they can perform at their best.
And Maggie?
I would say just being able to be one of the members that helps build a welcoming community for everyone, especially for like the incoming students. I've had so many freshmen after band is over for this season come up to me and say, I know that I for sure have friends on campus. Like, I feel welcome here. This feels like I'm supposed to be here. And that's just really fulfilling to me to make like know that I'm helping make people's transition to college more easy.
Yeah, for sure. Mark in Altoona emailed us. He was in the UW band. He's glad to hear that trainers are now involved and that band members get a summer training program. They didn't have that, I guess, when he was probably in the 70s.
We're glad to be here.
What would you tell a first-year student who's thinking about joining a marching band?
I would tell them, do it. Like, no questions asked. If you don't like it, you know, you can always choose not to do it next year, but the friends you make, the connections you make, the different places you get to go, the different experiences you have, it's so worth it. Yeah. It's so worth it.
Yeah. Aaron?
I would also say do it. I was not a member myself of a college marching band. I did high school, but it is one of the most fun groups that I have ever worked with. They always seem to be having such a great time. And I think what Maggie spoke to earlier and how it is very welcoming and you build that community from the day you walk onto campus. I think that is amazing.
Yeah. He had a friend who actually had two sons coming up to go into the marching band, and he found a little house on campus or near campus, and then they rented the extra rooms to only two other band members from the UW, and he had that going for all of the years. They were a little separated in age, so there was a little overlap among between the two brothers, but then he said he never had a single problem as a landlord. He never had a single problem because they would always only have band members in. You see that? Is that something I think that helps a student, keeps them on track, keeps them, you know, going forward?
Oh, absolutely. Being in band, you know, you have to be able to time manage. You have to make sure you're at rehearsals on time. You have to take accountability for yourself. It brings responsibility, especially as you're transitioning from like high school to college. It kind of like sets you up to be successful in being on time, being responsible. Like, band kids are good kids. They learn a lot of really great life lessons through band.
Someone wonders we just lost him, but he wondered if have band members ever passed out.
There has definitely been issues. We do a training for heat-related illness for the preseason with our athletic training staff, and so we monitor the heat daily. We monitor the humidity, is it safe to participate? But there's definitely been some lightheadedness. There's definitely been some concerns around heat illness over the years, as you can expect.
Yeah, Maggie, same thing?
Yes.
I was thinking back to daughter Emily. They had it on. They were around the country and wound up, one of their stops was Washington, D.C., where they played the World War II Memorial for an honor flight. Coming from Wisconsin, and it was 98 or 99 degrees, and the honor flight, everything was a little late, so they had to stand at attention more or less for a long, long time in that with full uniforms, and they did have one person pass out. Not my daughter. She made it. Well, this has been a lot of fun, and I want to thank you both very much for taking time to be with us today. I think it's hard not to like a marching band. It really is, and you guys helping them get through their season and through their years here at La Crosse or at Madison or wherever it might be. I applaud you. Thank you both very much. I hope we can do this again. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Larry. Anytime.
Erin Clark is the Assistant Director of Athletic Training for UW-Madison's University Recreation and Well-Being Center, and she helps support the UW Marching Band. Maggie Ferrando is a drum major for UW La Crosse Marching Band, the Screaming Eagles Marching Band. She's studying music education and is one semester away from student teaching. It was great to have them with us. And we'll talk about marching bands another time, I'm pretty sure of that. But we're going to turn our attention to baseball. There are some stories that you are not going to believe. What coming up next, we have the author of a book titled Tales from the Dugout, 1001 stunning humorous inspirations and wild anecdotes from minor league baseball. Our guest Tim Haggerty with us next. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.